everybody. Fantastic episode of the Daily Bone Podcast. We discuss runes after the halving and everything that is going down in that ecosystem on ordinals and on runes. We also discuss the price action on Bitcoin, Solana, Near Protocol, AVAX, and a little bit of Filecoin too. We're talking about Memeland Captains, whether that's a great buy at these prices on the NFT side of the shop. And last but not least, we have Charles, the co-founder of Nifty Island, one of the most promising crypto gaming ecosystems that's in the market right now. They are our newest partner. It is fascinating to hear about how Charles is thinking about crypto gaming and what the future of Nifty Island looks like. It's a great episode of the show. Hope you enjoy it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Daily Bone Podcast. Monday, April 22nd. We are here to discuss all things crypto market, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, meme coins, and of course, NFTs. Today, we are going to discuss crypto price action after the Bitcoin halving. Spoiler alert, the Bitcoin halving isn't just like a pump it up moment. It takes like 18 months, 6 to 12 months, I should say. The launch of runes, which is a very big and significant story, which has really captivated the entire crypto space over the past 10 days. And then, of course, the latest Blast Gold distribution announcement and how to maximize airdrop farming opportunities. One other note is that the one of one tube and dab rig auctions by Bodagos end at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So in about 55 minutes. These are the final items from the 420 drop. These are the one of one items in the collection. Looks like the tube has a bid of 1,115. That's the current highest bid with 17 bids. And the dab rig has 25 bids, $421. So that's at shop.bodagos.com if you want to get in on that action. Quickly, before we dive into the weather report, today's show is brought to you all in partnership with Nifty Island, our newest gaming partner. We're going to be joined today by their co-founder, Charles, later on in the show. But you know, I'm personally incredibly pumped about this one. Like, incredibly pumped. Easy, I know you have some extra detail. What do we need to know about Nifty Island?
No, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. It's playable right now, multiple assets across the board when it comes to additional game types, other NFT projects. There's a Bodago skin in there. They have Sappy Seals. It's a play to airdrop campaign right now as well, where you can farm what's called blooms, which are their points. They got team deathmatch style games. They've got endless runner style games. They've got fast-paced, like, reach checkpoints as quickly as you can, speed runs. We've seen a ton of awesome stuff. We've seen people like Whale.Swoosh even put out $1,000 prizes for the fastest person to complete his map. Obviously, the Pudgy Penguin skins, if you're watching the stream right now. And they've really integrated a ton of different ecosystems across the NFT space to make this feel like an NFT native game. And they've done an incredible job. On top of that, building your own island, creating entirely functional worlds. All of this is playable right now on both Mac and PC. So it's just been a huge win. I love what I've seen so far. I've played a ton of it. I've been farming the airdrop and I'm wicked excited about it.
It's very, very, very exciting. Yeah, Clemente was like giving me all the detail and I don't know. I'm pretty blown away. I'm very excited to have Charles on the show. We need entities like this building infrastructure in the space. So we're going to dive into that. It's going to be awesome. Sig, why don't we just kick things right off Monday morning, cooking April 22nd weather report. Let's rock.
Yep, let's get right into it. That ETH market volume is coming at 20 million. Solana market volume at 8 and the Ordinals, the highest at almost 30 million. Onto the market leaders and on the Ethereum side, it's Sappy Seals, they're up to 0.78. That's a win for Clemente. Mutants, they're up to 2.3. They've broken 2. Over on Solana, Fear of Gravity, the PFP for the THOG token, is up to 2.3 SOL. Parcel is also up. That's recovered from its lows to 7.7. And then finally on Ordinals, Rune Doors are up 123% to 0.03 BTC after their team lands Rune number 9, Lobo the Wolf Pup. Runestones are down 50% to 0.036, and after a snapshot was taken last night for the distribution of their rune, which is called Dog to the Moon. On to the crypto roundup, the majors, they're all up about 1% over the past 24 hours, with Bitcoin at 66K, ETH at $3,200, Solana at $153. The base meme coins dipped on Saturday as attention has fueled over to the Solana meme coin side. That was really led by Gummy, that's up 100%, Popcat up 40%. Crypto Valley's yield token on Blast also had a nice day, up to 27 million market cap. Over the weekend, top three stories were firstly, obviously, Bitcoin completed its halving block with block 840,000, generating 2.6 million between fees and revenue. Bitcoin fees paid by users eclipsed almost 80 million in the first 24 hours post-halving. That is a new all-time high. Second story, Runes Protocol, which was, the Runes Protocol launched by CyberKongs, Runestone and Arsic, all etching runes in the first 10. The early leaders in the rune volume, though, include Arsic Genesis runes, Satoshi Nakamoto, Wanko Manko runes, and Ordinals Are Dead. Those are the tickers that we're seeing at the moment. And lastly, Blast released their second round of Blast Gold over the weekend, with the Thruster decks receiving the highest allocation of 1 million gold. Other big notable winners were District 1 and Fantasy. They received the next two highest allocations of 730,000. That is all for the weather report and news. Is back to you in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual. Some updates from the Daily Bone newsletter. This is available to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com. Four quick stories. First one, Grayscale converted 20% of their GBTC holdings to the new BTC ETF that has an industry low fee rate of 0.15%. So a lot of people have been paying attention to the high fee of GBTC. A lot of speculation that that very high fee was being used to cover a lot of the overhead that Grayscale has been having to deal with at this point for a year and a half post FTX meltdown and all the hardships that they've faced. So interesting move here. It seems like that was what the high fee on GBTC was about. And now BTC has an industry low rate fee of 0.15%, 15 basis points. A very interesting strategy there from Grayscale. Next story, round two of Jupiter LFG launchpad voting closes with Sanctum winning and Uproc placing second. So very interesting stuff there in the kind of Solana DeFi ecosystem. Next story, and a lot of people saw this one, crypto Twitter influencer Ansem lost to Barney by TKO stoppage in, it was the third round, Clemente? I thought it was the second round. It was the third round?
Third round.
Wow, I literally was processing it as if it was the second round in my mind. At the Crypto Fight Night, this is the boxing event that seems to be happening every few months in crypto. If anybody watched it, it was an interesting thing to watch for sure. Last story, Xcopy's The Last Selfie sold for 277 Ethereum. That's $875,000 to a gentleman that goes by Punk 4945. Been seeing a lot of Xcopy sales. If I'm not mistaken, that one right there, The Last Selfie, is from years back. It's kind of an older Xcopy piece, a one of one piece. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, 5 years ago is when it was minted, February 11th, 2019. What were you doing then? Did you know who Xcopy was at that point? My bet is that you did not. So interesting stuff there. Anyway, those are your stories from the Daily Bone newsletter. This is emailed to anyone that subscribes at dailybones.com. Diving into the stories here, first story, Bitcoin halving. After a volatile week, Bitcoin is even in the last 7 days, $66,000 post-halving. Some additional detail, Bitcoin fees paid to miners passed $78 million in the 24 hours post-halving, which is a new all-time high. I think a lot of people expected a statistic like that. I'd love to ask Nick, if he's paying attention to kind of charts here. Nick, when you look at the price action of, say, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana over the past week, I think the audience would love to know, what you've been thinking about in relation to the price action. We got Ethereum at 3,200, Solana at 153, creeping up.
You don't even say hello?
Hello, Nick. How are you doing?
15 minutes into the show, I don't even get any recognition. Now we just throw me a question. That's like a weird sort of thing. You're like at the party, the person is walking by, you're not even acknowledging their presence. And then you're just like, oh yeah. Johnny right there has got that taken care of right there. Yeah. Hey Johnny, remember how I was just completely fucking ignoring you for the past 15 minutes, dude? Like it's all good. What? Come answer this question. It's just disrespectful, dude.
Nick, what do you make of the price action on Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana over the past 7 days?
Well, outside of the technicals telling me that you're a real jerk, it's also telling me that, I mean, this literally bounced off my levels. So
we get a little screen share.
Yeah, I will share my screen. I was about to do that anyways. without anybody asking. That's what I was about to do. Literally bounced off my level. Whoa, I just moved. This 61, like, we've seen a couple dips below, but I mean, Bitcoin's been looking strong this whole time. It's now 4 hours overarch. It's not even 4 hours. It's been like 8 hours. Okay. I just need, I think Kashmir in the comments just identified what the situation is. I need people to recognize my greatness when I walk in the room. And I just didn't get that. The Bitcoin bump here is just looking good. I bought a lot more yesterday. I'm still continuing to buy.
Very nice.
This is, I added Bitcoin and Solana evenly. I don't know. It feels like, excuse me, that Solana is gearing up for a run. I want to pull that up here. Solana looks pretty good. I'd be watching this level here at 155 just to see what happens. Kind of right where we're at right now. I want to see where this closes. If we can get this to break above, ooh, that looks nice. And it feels like, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out like what the upside here is, but altcoins are the main thing to look into.
AVAX, I mean, big volatility on that asset.
Yeah, AVAX seems like one that could be, if we got, like if we're at the, I mean, this one looks good also. Unless this market is dead, and crypto is done for, I'm really interested in a lot of these right now. AVAX feels like one that's like poised for like a 6 to 8x here.
Look at Near.
Real quick, I want to look at Near. Clemente just sent something in the private chat that says I'm down like 40% on AVAX. Clemente, you buy right after the things pump excessively. Then when they pull back, you don't double down. What do you like? You could be down on anything if that's the strategy.
When it goes, not the strategy. I actually, so Nick was doing the AVAX Admiral thing. It giga pumped.
How is it not the strategy? The numbers don't lie. You're down 40% on it. No, you're literally buying at 40%. Like, what are we talking about?
No, because I didn't buy it when Nick was talking about doing the AVAX Admiral. I had very strong self-control, but then there was a pullback. It was like a 10, 15% pullback. I'm like, oh, I'm buying this dip right here. And then it just dipped another 40% from there.
These are volatile assets. I don't know what to tell you. Somebody you always buys
here?
The top.
You bought around here?
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, so you bought this 2 weeks ago?
No. Go back more. No, I bought in like December.
In December?
I mean, I don't know I'd have to pull up the Coinbase, but I just know I'm down. Like, I checked yesterday on Coinbase and I'm down like 30-40%.
So you bought that top right
you
there.
You either bought this?
Oh, yeah, dude.
But like, look
at this run. This is where Clemente bought.
I'm not saying I'm proud of it, and it was supposed to be a private message to you guys.
I was literally offended. I was like offended by the private message. I was like, how are you down 40% on AVAX? Everybody I know is up significantly on AVAX. It's a great asset. And I'm just like, how are you down 40% on this thing? Anyway, Nick, please continue. Near protocol.
I'm trying to pull up the one that I want to go with here. Near. Oh, sorry. So why is this one better, Easy?
I don't think it's better. I just think it's another option for something that looks like it has a massive upside potential when it comes to like looking at a 5, 6, 7, 8x. I think Near has some real legs on it.
Well,
their social media is funny.
This chart looks a lot different than this one, where you have some at least like relative basis to go back. I like, so at AVAX is at a $14 billion market cap. Say has bounced off of its load. That was an interesting opportunity there. Remember how everyone was talking about Say and then they just disappeared?
What happened there? I still like the Cosmos ecosystem. I mean, Beanie's still shilling it. Like that theory of gravity thing he's talking about somehow has some involvement to like Nuts Market, which is like a Say ecosystem and NFT marketplace. I think Say still has some major legs, but this is like any new coin. It's just really, really early. Like, that's the thing, is like Say's relatively a brand new coin. It's not even a year old at the moment. So for something like that, it's almost like you got to kind of just trust the process and see where it goes over an extended period of time.
Look at this one. What everybody's talking about is Filecoin.
This show looks like shit.
What are you talking about? This actually looks good.
A breakdown here and this thing's speed running to zero, Nick.
Okay. What are you talking about? You're just hating on this thing because because you don't own any, and it's all these look the exact same. I mean, all the altcoins look the exact same. There's an opportunity for you to load up on Solana at literally 120 the other day.
I did at 129. So I bought high. I feel like Clemente here.
I mean, dude, you just got to keep buying. This to me feels like, are we like, suddenly we get a little pullback and we're like, I don't even know if I'm willing to buy anything anymore at this point in time. Should I just get out of the market? I just sold stock in the last company I was at just so I could.
Congratulations, by the way.
Completely raked over the. I don't know if it's congrats. It's actually like an awful situation thanks to the company that screwed me over. SecFi, SECFI. If you want a company that's going to fuck you in the butt, SecFi. They're an awful financing company. Do you want to get a high interest loan to finance a stock that's completely illiquid and have no chance of getting your money out of there? Use SecFi. They're an awful company. I'll mention them in a future show as well. This is going to be the first shout out that I give them before I proceed to literally run an entire campaign to try and ruin their business. Okay. Probably did sign some sort of like non-disparagement agreement or something like that.
A non-FUD clause.
Like, did they have any, like, normally non-disparagement agreements, those are for like, you know, those public websites, like where you kind of leave reviews about corporate companies. I don't think they saw this coming.
Dude, they're so awful. They don't even have reviews on their company. So I was going to become the first one, and it was going to start with a 1-star. These companies are absolutely ludicrous. They're predatory, evil companies. SecFi, SECFI. Don't use them. They're garbage. Work at a startup where you're getting equity. Never use that company to finance them. I got you know, maybe $150,000 to throw into Bitcoin and Solana at this point. So I'm just going to ape in an additional amount here and send it to the moon. Send it off to $500-$600 on Solana. That's what we're aiming for here. What's your target price, Easy? When do you start selling?
270. I'll take a very small percentage off and then continue to start scaling all the way up to 700. What?
270?
Yeah, once we hit all-time high, that's always been the thesis. When I say a small percentage, that's probably when I sell my very first singular Solana.
You're itching for $270. Sell one of those Solanas. Get that $270.
Just one soul. Just one. We'll slowly start scaling as soon as we're well past all-time high. You got to think, dude. I've been in since $8. A little higher. Like $940.
Well,
what's your target?
We got a paper handed bitch over here. The target that I would have here is 500.
Okay.
I'll probably start selling at a 499.
All right.
My lesson learned from Bored Ape Yacht Club would actually be to sell it a little bit before that. So yeah, I'd maybe start selling a little bit at 300.
We got a paper handed bitch here.
That's way higher than when you started selling.
$30 higher.
So I have a quick question.
Is SecFi the worst company? Yes, they are. SECFI, garbage company. Go back to you, Pia.
Thank you. Well, that was my first question. So, the chemistry between me and Nick, he knew what I was going to ask. He proactively answered it. That was awesome. Next question, my second question that I was going to ask. I'd say to Clemente and Easy, and then obviously I do want to hear what Nick thinks. Would you buy, because right now no one is paying attention to the NFT corner of the crypto market at all. No one is interested in purchasing NFTs. Would you buy a captain, a meme land captain, or the equivalent amount of AVAX?
A meme land captain.
Captain. What's so funny, Clemente?
Yeah, to make that face. Hey, meme land captain. I'd buy a captain though.
Yeah. You know, I'm already holding meme token and like I get runes exposure from it. I'd rather buy a captain.
Nick?
Why is everyone in agreement on this? I'd buy an ETH NFT.
Clearly, because Nick has not done his due diligence on Stakeland, which is essentially a passive play on upcoming tokens, with multiple Web2 brands already being teased to launch on Stakeland. And we get Arsic, the RuneCoin token, getting airdropped here in the next handful of days. So for me, I'd rather buy Captain.
Arsic is getting airdropped to captains?
To Stakeland users.
And how much, what do you need to have done with Stakeland?
Stake meme coin and captains give a multiplier, and captains have, I think, like 6 ETH worth of meme tokens still locked in them to be unlocked. So you get a multiplier on it, you get 6 meme token at the
current price of meme.
Yes,
more like seven.
I mean, should I just buy one of these captains?
So you first looked at us like we were idiots, and now you're about to deploy 3 ETH of capital into one. I just want to make sure that the audience understands the thought process we're going through here. We explained the thesis. Nick called us idiots. We explained it a couple steps more, and now Nick wants one. Just so the audience can be made aware of what exactly is about to happen here. Yes, I think purchasing one here may be the move.
Interesting. Well, after going through the process of buying and selling whatever stupid thing that Ansem was shilling the other day and losing.
Was it?
No. It was some other. It was a thing that I'd seen on Elio Trades as well.
So you got that double confirmation.
I got a double confirmation. This is very interesting. So you think the captains here, you go over to Stakeland. What do you do with Stakeland? You stake your what do you do with that?
You literally just stake your meme. You just stake the meme coin.
Okay, so I just bought a captains.
Okay. Okay.
You just bought one? Okay. That one in the process right there, there you go.
Yeah.
Hell okay. Yeah.
I like the play. And now the second move you want to do is maybe take like half an ETH and buy meme token and then stake it.
Half an ETH. So we're just going to go to Uniswap and do that?
Yep, Uniswap. Yep, go to Uniswap. And then we go to stakeland.com after you purchase the meme token.
So you come here, you buy a meme coin. Is that what you're looking at?
Yep.
Okay. And you buy 0.5 ETH of that.
I bought half an ETH worth, yeah.
Okay, and now I end up with almost 54,000 meme.
Yep, I'm sitting on about 58,000, so it is up slightly, which is nice.
Damn.
So I just bought that.
Yep.
So, okay, we're running this trade on the show, and let's see what happens here.
I just sent the link to Stakeland in the private chat. So you go to this. You go to this.
Stakeland.com is where you want to go, people.
Yep.
After you've spent, how much did I just spend?
3.5 ETH. So about 10,000. Yeah, 12 grand.
Okay. So I just spent $12,000. So how am I going to make all this money back? First, I'm supposed to stake meme, right?
Wait, did you just buy a captain?
Yep. I bought a captain. I bought half an ETH of meme.
You bought a captain while in the time it took me to pee?
Yep.
Apparently. And so I take all of my meme coin and stake it?
Yep.
And what am I going to get out of this?
Future token allocation. So there's two different ways that they're giving the token allocation. How much meme you have staked if you have a captain stake that gets you more memes, so you're compounding it, and then also doing quests. So quests are like social initiatives, basically like you have to tweet stuff, like you click the button,
the
tweet.
Garbage all on the timeline that I have no interest in
participating. I just delete it right after I tweet it. I literally just immediately delete it just to get more points. Like right now I'm sitting on about 190,000 stakes, which is almost 4x what I get per week just by doing these quests. So I should get on, my hope here is to get about 50% of my capital back just on the token that's going to get airdropped to me.
Okay, well, it looks like I'm currently earning 54,000 stakes a week.
Yes. And then if you click farm, which is new, it gives you farming quests for RuneCoin.
Where do I, how do I stake my captain?
The captain staking, let me send you the link for that. There's a separate link for that. That'll earn you meme token.
Dude, there's no way I'm participating. Like, what am I going to, I'm going to check in on stake land on a day, on a daily basis to figure out what the hell I need to be doing?
Fair. Fair.
So, like, how big does your to-do list become for the market? How many hours a day are you currently spending easy on just managing your portfolio?
30 minutes.
Are you just lying?
No. Yeah, dude, it's literally just a simple loop. I do it at 7:30 in the morning before the 8 a.m. show. I go to Crypto Valleys, I click my two buttons. I go to IKB, I click my two buttons. I go to Memeland or Stakeland and click my one button, and then I'm done. That's it.
Okay.
I farm my Blast Gold and I farm my meme and that's it. I'm not in a ton of stuff right now. Like, that's the main thing, is like you got to keep it less than 5 total exposure plays and just rotate. And if you see one that becomes better than one of the ones you're in, you get rid of the worst performing one you're in and put the new one in. Like, you really shouldn't be spending over an hour on this shit. You're spent that, it's a poor use of time.
I will never do crypto admin. It's just not, I've just realized it's just not something it's possible for me to do. Well, anyway, I mean, I just honestly wanted to know what, I just have been thinking about Memeland as a potential really good option for like probably a 6 to 9 month hold. And it felt kind of like a no brainer. And I almost feel like I have like an edge because like I've met Ray and, you know, talked to the team and I'm like, yeah, these guys are pretty legit. And so I have like that sort of personal confirmation. Didn't expect Nick to purchase one throughout this process abruptly after initially thinking it was a questionable idea to even bring up. We can move on from this to runes, unless Nick, was there anything else you wanted to cover on this?
No, I mean, I do want to figure out how to get my captain in there, but other than that, yeah, I just spent $10,000. Let's fucking go.
I mean, look, this is a, if all things considered for entities in the crypto space, this is a pretty damn established entity. So it's not not some random BS that got started last week. Look, going on to runes. So this was the big story going into the halving. You know, we had Trevor on the show exactly 1 week ago, if I'm not mistaken, to discuss this. He said that he was going to be sleeping all day on Friday so that he could be up all night on a Friday evening to be able to position himself properly for, you know, runes. So here's some highlights from the first 10 etched runes. Okay, we're going to rip through this. The first rune etched was Fehu. Okay, F-E-H-U, Fehu. Details are scarce outside of some cryptic info from the project's Twitter account. 99% of this rune's 111 million supply was pre-mined, with 1 million available for public mint. The anonymous team spent $430,000 on fees to secure the spot. Next one, CyberKongs, that's a known name, landed the next rune. That rune was called Decentralized. It'll be distributed to Prometheans holders. They spent $500,000 to deploy that. Leonidas, that's a familiar name if you know the ordinals and Bitcoin ecosystem. He secured Dog Go to the Moon in the number 3 spot for Runestone holders with a snapshot taken last night for distribution. Rune number 6 is called Satoshi Nakamoto. It was inscribed by an anonymous creator and was first publicly mintable rune. What, Nick Clemente, you have this?
Yeah, it's the only one I have. I just bought it yesterday. I'm down 50%. Sorry, keep going.
Oh, you're down 50% on the 30% on the Satoshi Nakamoto rune.
We're
Look
both
at that.
Down on this one. Hey. We're having fun.
You guys are having fun.
This is fun.
It's number two on the volume charts, and it holds a $100 million market cap. Rune number seven, meme economics, was the first publicly mintable rune to mint out and sits at an $11 million market cap. Last one, R6 secured rune number eight for their Genesis rune, has begun distributing supply to their holders. This rune has lead volume, is the highest market cap at $300 million. Ticker Pups missed the top 10 landing rune. It's number 13 with the ticker Pups World Peace. They also released details on the tokenomics and distribution breakdown between Pups token and Rune Pups holders. Last bullet point here. Standout runes outside the top 10 include Ordinals Are Dead. The ticker is Elsa, which is named after Hal Finney's dog. That's a good one to kind of pull out of the ether. And Wanko Manko, which is based on an erotic furry fiction blog that Casey Rodemore had written in the past. Very interesting stuff. I knew that Casey was an somewhat odd duck based on the dancing videos that he posted. I guess it makes sense that he has a background writing erotic furry fiction. It's probably pretty funny, probably a comedy angle. Signal, you've been historically spot on in regards to navigating runes. Identifying what could potentially be coming next. What is your impression of the first couple of days of runes here post-halving?
Honestly, I think it's been really fun. I know a lot of people on the timeline have been like, meh, was that it? Like, what else were we expecting? It was never going to be like fireworks and Solana, like peak Solana happening straight away. I think what is going to happen is this. You're going to have people like, I think runes are going to continue to be something that you're either into or you're not. It's not going to be one of those things that I think some people are kind of dabbling because of how much time it takes. Ultimately, attention will fade at some point. Then it will come back when people see that people are making money in it. But the way I'm looking at runes is just another avenue to have risk return over this bull run. And whether you want to be in it or not be in it, I don't think you can. I think this bull run is about picking what interests you and what you can commit to rather than trying to be in everything. There's two things that I think will be very interesting. Number one will obviously be Magic Eden secondary trading. That's going to make secondary buying much easier when people are still asking, where do you buy these? Where do you sell these, etc. So Magic Eden having that platform is super important. And then secondly is being able to split the runes into more divisible numbers. At the moment, you can do that, but you need wallets and marketplaces to integrate it and make it much easier. So the UI still has a long way. Once those two things go into practice, I think you're going to see more participants coming in and more interest.
Clemente.
Yeah, I wanted to, Nick, I know you were asking questions about runes to buy. You were a little bit confused about it over the weekend. Now I think you're in a buying mood. So can I pitch you on potential runes to buy here?
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm also reading. I didn't know that furry erotica existed. So I like Googled it to be like, are there any examples of this? And the story that I came across is a milk tank meets a Bulbasaur. And they're in the process of batting to the Bulbasaur is about to, or no, the milk tank. I don't know. Is a milk tank a female?
Milk tank. It's a cow-based Pokemon. Yeah.
Okay, so the Bulbasaur is about to penetrate the milk tank, and very exciting time. Talk to me about the ordinals here.
So it depends what kind of capital you're wanting to allocate, but my thought process is,
$40,000.
Okay, now we're
talking. Yellow it into something.
Okay, well, maybe you want to buy just an ordinal, buy a quantum cat or something, just.
No. Let's get even more niche. Let's get down into these runes that have to be 13 characters for at least 4 months before they can become 12 characters. And then they can be 11 characters 4 months after that. The other thing is most people don't know how to list or sell them right now, which is insanely bullish because once they're in your wallet, they're basically just stuck there until there's an easier path forward. Some people have figured out how to sell them. Also, roughly 10,000 people have set up nodes to trade these things, but nobody has any idea what that actually does or how to use it.
So nobody knows how to sell them, yet y'all are still down 30%.
No, because the people who have figured out how to sell them have managed to do so.
They're spamming
command line commands in hopes, slamming the back arrow to resend it every single couple minutes in hopes that it'll finally list and sell.
So there was a second wave. We're in the second. I don't know if we're in the second or third wave of ordinals. So the real thing you want to do is have runes just kind of capitulate for a minute. Are we in wave three?
Yeah, because the first wave was when it first came out, like a while ago, like in the depths of the bear market, like in
beginning of last year.
Yeah, beginning of 2023. And it was hot as hell for like 8 weeks. And then ordinals were dead. And when I was saying like ordinals is a protocol built on it's layer one NFTs on Bitcoin, it's not dead. Then everyone said, how many ordinals
do you own? The show, the entire market, they were listening in and they said, wow,
we're going to fade this
on here.
But most people said, how many ordinals do you own at that point? Then ordinals came and I didn't have any. Then ordinals came back. Then the same people dunked on me for not having ordinals. And I was like, well, this is a very interesting approach from you guys. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. But anyway, that's the second wave is when they come back full tilt. And then now this is the third wave.
Well, seems like you got it going on here. When you go now to, I was trying to check out what, so which ordinal would you buy here?
Clemente, you are muted. Yeah,
it depends on what kind of exposure you're looking to deploy, but there is now this narrative being thrown on of the big four, the fantastic four, which is
Node Monkeys, Bitcoin Puppets. We got Ordinal Maxi Biz, and then the fourth one is Quantum Cats.
I think it depends what you're looking for. If I were you, I think possibly a Bitcoin Puppet fits your personality the most, even though you called these a buy at 0.03. Now you're paying kind of a 10x premium. But I think you put your ego to the side, Nick, and you buy a Bitcoin Puppet. Or look, a Quantum Cat's also very interesting because they have the carrot dangling of Taproot Wizards, and Udi is just dominating Twitter. Ordinal Maxibus is also interesting. They reached a new high since their Orange Eye Mint. You can go Node Monkeys, but I know less about that. Dude, collection.
Bitcoin Puppets basically cost almost as much as a Bored Ape at this point. This is crazy.
And I think they should.
A Bored Ape. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, this is what? 0.4. This is like $30,000, $35K. No, less. So I'm like, 30 grand. Remember when Doodles were 30 grand? Doodles were like 60 grand. So if we go back to peak euphoria, which I think we will, I think all of these of the big four go to at least like 1.52 Bitcoin.
Doodle's catching a stray from Clemente real quick while he's presenting a case to buy some other ordinals. What about runes, Clemente? Go ahead. Let us know. Let us know what the runes are.
I'm taking a little bit of a shotgun approach with runes. I'm just buying.
It's working really well, too.
Well, I'm just buying these and just not selling them for 2 months until they get listed on Binance.
We're holding this for 2 months?
Yeah, a month. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We're going to get 10X.
I'm taking this approach to now just copy trade Clemente because I don't want him to just go to battle alone anymore. And I've been really just dunking on the kid for so long that now I'm turning the cheek and I'm like, okay, anything he buys, I'm going to buy in 2X size just because I want more skin in the game so that either I make more than him or I never let him live it down. And he's bought some really terrible shit recently. Like, well, we're down astronomically.
No, dude, we're up. We're up like literally 15% on pups. We bought pups yesterday.
15%? Dude, we're down 40% on Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yeah, so I do like Easy's approach here. Just to recap it, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't understand, Easy's just buying the same stuff as Clemente in bigger size so that, again, if it goes up, Easy can always say, I made more money than you on it. And if it goes down, he can blame Clemente for a robust loss of funds forever and really make him feel bad. So, Clemente, you're holding items like meme economics, like a token or a rune called Satoshi Nakamoto and a rune called Feihu. You're holding assets like this for a few months.
Satoshi Nakamoto for sure. Rune coin, I'm very interested in. I haven't bought yet. And the last one would be just pups. Those are the big three I'm going with.
Have we started to consider this ticker sucks or giant pile of shit? Those are the two that are on my radar for
runes. Are those right real?
Yeah. Yes.
This ticker sucks sounds okay because a lot of people are unhappy with the tickers. I don't these tickers are not as good as the Solana.
They have the 13 characters and no one knows a 13 character word aside from Cyber Kongs who picked decentralized. So great choice by them. Everyone else has like space bars, underscores. They look like shit.
Use ChatGPT. What are these people doing?
You know what I've learned about the Bitcoiners, while they're very efficient in the technology. Yeah. Well, they're not as creative as the Solana. The Solana meme coiners have had so much experience. And these guys are more, I would call boomers, right? It's like okay, I wasn't going to bring Nick into it, but I was going to say it's a different level of creativity, I would say. And they're learning. I think, you know, in 2-3 months, we're going to see some really cool tickers, but it's a learning curve to get there. And right now,
exactly. Clemente, I think this point of yours is really important. Everyone is saying that all the tickers are really bad right now. And I agree, most of them aren't very interesting, which means, okay, number one, it's easier to place your bets on the more serious projects. I'm saying serious, but we don't actually know what they're doing. But like, that means Arcic, Prometheans, Runestone, those three kind of become like they kind of go into one box, and it's a good place to potentially have at least one of them there. Uji put out a really good tweet over the weekend explaining like his thesis on which ones could potentially have a listing, but Arcic is looking at like the sort of like the front runner there, and then you have the other ones which I just mentioned, and then you have these ones which have bad names. Let's say these are the tickers with bad names. I think personally what is a good strategy right now is learning like how to mint these, how to buy them, how to sell them, like keeping up the technology of like, well, wallets, like how will wallets be doing the buying and making them divisible, looking at Magic Eden. Because as the tickers improve, when a good one comes out, which will be really obvious because they've been so bad up until now, you want to be able to jump on that, and you don't want your learning curve to happen when like as a good ticker is minting. So I actually think right now is a really, really good like learning time for people to get into runes. And I don't think this is like going away. I really don't.
I think it's going to go away. And I like that strategy signal if you actually do want to do this. Meme economics is the worst ticker I've ever heard for any coin ever. And I'm sure that the meme economics community is going to just roast me for this. I hope that this results in the price going up for them, because that's a rough ticker. That's rough. Clemente?
No, I was going to say to the signal, I've learned. I spent $100 in fees. There is a learning process that comes going to Unisat. It's literally the same as BR. Everyone's saying that's this huge technological innovation. It's basically the same as buying a BRC20 token right now. But when you saw Binance supposedly, allegedly already teasing rune support. So I'm just taking the shotgun approach. I'm literally just going to buy three. I'm probably going to lose money on two. But the last one I'm hoping literally goes to 1.5 to 2 billion bucks. And I'm sitting pretty with a nice 10x.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Clemente is going to do that. He's going to do what he just said, and we're going to see what happens. Someone brought up Harry Potter, Obama, Sonic, Ten Inu, and trying to question whether that's a good name. It's an exceptional name. Everybody in the entire space literally only knows about that ticker because of the name, because it's such a hilarious name. And then also the fact that they went ticker Bitcoin. Anyway, moving on. We're going to be joined momentarily by Charles from Nifty Island. We can do this big four section segment quickly. What do you think of that, Clemente? Or is there a different segment?
We already kind of did it. I just wanted to ask Nick if out of the big four, which one he's most interested in buying. They're all at around 0.4 to 0.45 Bitcoin. So I'm curious if Nick is interested in deploying some of his rich capital into any of these.
I'm going to stand by.
Dude, come on.
Dude, well, first I didn't participate this weekend because I had to move Bitcoin over. Well, Pio and I were recording all Saturday. I think I'm going to publish the first one today. And then I acquired 5 vehicles this weekend, which I can't reveal what those vehicles are, but I'll be giving a teaser of one of the vehicles today. So get excited for that one. I'm pretty excited about the future stuff because it's absolutely ridiculous. That said, man, runes is a tough one. I saw a lot of complaining and frustration on the timeline this weekend from people that were trading runes. Most people were saying they were down. Other people talking about like how logistically challenging it is to like make this work. And this is from people who are used to dealing with complicated things. I almost think spreadsheets would have been better here to begin with, to just sort of proof of concept it. But you're in the trenches with this. Do I think that these eventually yield positive results? Yes, I actually do think that this is an interesting thing. The fact that the 13 character thing is a little weird. Why is the timeline the way that it is to go to like 13 to 12 to 11? Like, what is that? Just
it's the halving, Nick.
No, that's how Casey Rodemer did not want people to take all the tickers right away. So he set up this sequential like decline every 4 months to have lower numbers. So like to get a 2 character, it's not going to happen for like this 5 years.
That's what we call that is over engineering. That's basically when that's when we like prepare for the onslaught of like demand that's going to come for something. So you like build that, you architect this whole solution, and then you like launch it and no one's there. And so then you're just like, well, I really overcomplicated this thing. Can he just like do a pull request to update the code on this and change? Like, is this an upgradable protocol? No,
it is not. No.
Easy. Are you actually like sure about that?
Yeah, you cannot upgrade this.
Could we just fork it and make a version of it that suddenly Choose Rich Nick decides to, you know, dunk on Casey and becomes a Bitcoiner? And
I do like the idea of an entire separate layer one protocol built on Bitcoin that's just for Choose Rich Nick related.
Dot Bounce says it is upgradable. I thought that was the whole point of this entire process, was that it's not.
I was going to say, when you were saying it
quote, dude, they have the whole yeah. Ordinal protocol thing is on GitHub. You can like put pull requests to it. It's open source. I think you can just.
Is it the whole benefit of this shit is that it's not mutable and it's on chain?
It's still on chain. It'll be backwards compatible, would be my assumption, but still you can make development contributions to the protocol if you want. And the same way that...
So why the hell are we doing this on Bitcoin?
Well, really quick, I'm going to just say, I think EZ is a little bit out of his depth on the software engineering side. No one ever asked you to be a software engineer, EZ. I wouldn't have weighed in on that one myself as a non-engineer, and considering this is an open source protocol. We will have somebody technical on the show for like 2 minutes, because we're not going to do like a 30-minute technical mumbo-jumbo session on the show, which the technical people come out of the woodwork and they're like, no, we have to do it. Anyway,
how would that sound?
A dryer going off. That was me.
Anyway, Clemente, the Blast Gold distribution, we can do that tomorrow. And some of this other, there's a lot of juicy stuff in this call sheet, Clemente. Can we use this tomorrow?
It's tomorrow, 100%.
Sounds great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have the co-founder of one of really a smash hit in the crypto and NFT space, an absolute smash hit. So we're very excited. One of our newest partners that we could not be more excited about. This is about to be a jam. We have Charles, co-founder of Nifty Island. Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here, man. Great to be here. Appreciate the kind intro.
Oh, thanks for joining. You're on a bit of a run right now, Charles. You're on a run.
We've had a good launch. We've had a good launch. We were working on this thing for, I think, 2.5 years before we launched the open beta. So if you talk about having to engineer something for a long time before you know if demand is there, there was some risk for us. But in the end, we put it out, and yeah, people are loving it. We've got a lot of people playing, and just going to keep pushing hard on it.
I'd imagine risk and a bit of anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough when all the macro podcasters were saying, you know, there's crypto's dead. There's no more food on the shelves, grocery stores in America, and then you're making a video game for JPEGs. It, you know, that is a little anxiety inducing, but it seems we've come back.
That, yeah, well, look, hats off to you for that, because my personal approach is I like to do things a little bit at a time to gauge demand. But I understand when you're doing an undertaking like you all have, you have to take a different approach. One quick question before we dive in. Are you in a photo studio right now? What's going on in the background?
This is the office that we're in. And we got a little bit of we were experimenting with some content stuff. And so I've left that around. But
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, Ryan.
So most of our listeners are probably aware of Nifty Island, but there might be a small percentage that, you know, somehow may have missed it. Can we get a 60-second rundown? Clemente will share some visuals while you're chatting of just what is Nifty Island?
Yeah, so Nifty Island is, right now, I'd say Web3's leading game world. And yes. It's a game world where we have about 400 NFT communities that are all integrated into it. They can all create their own islands as individual holders or as projects. You can play endless games on your island. You can pull in all your NFTs from multiple chains, use them as avatars, play with them, create spaces with them. And then you can compete for crazy prizes and in quests and competitions that we have. So our goal really is to be Web3's gaming platform. We're starting with an open game world where all NFTs can play together and win prizes and create UGC and share it on the timeline. But the vision's bigger than that. We'll be building out a lot more over time and really trying to be the place where people play and interact with NFTs. That's the goal.
Really cool. And Clemente has the video pulled up for those that are watching on either video stream, either on X platform or on YouTube. The graphics are very, very strong. You know, a lot of the other projects that we've seen really feel like almost like MVP style, rollouts. But you all have a very polished product already. So again, hats off to that. And, obviously you're getting serious traction. Question about the island token and the associated quests. Let's talk about Ticker Island and just kind of what the game plan is there.
Yeah. So Island Token really is it's a little bit almost like if you took a gaming, like the model of BNB, the sort of like broad purpose utility token, and then you applied it to this big gaming platform where there's lots of NFTs coming out that people want access to. There's people wanting to create islands and engage with the game. And then there are people looking to like make money and kind of monetize their experiences in the game as well. And Island Token basically enhances all of that. So the more Island Token you hold, the more privileged access you have to the platform. It sort of combines the value prop of something like BNB with the scarce land plays you've seen in Decentraland and Sandbox, but in a way that I think's much better into one thing. So we just have one really core asset, which is Island Token, and on top of that, it's a token that hasn't been given out through a pre-sale or anything like that. It's something that's earned by playing. So people are playing and creating on the platform and they're earning Island Token by doing it. And really our goal is that Island Token will be, this broadly held gaming token that turns Nifty Island into a public good that the whole space utilizes and kind of has some exposure to or some stake in. And we think it can have a really passionate kind of community around it where it's sort of like, holding Chainlink, but if there was a hell of a lot more to do with it, you can actually help build out the game world that the token is used within. Anyone who holds Island Token can help create content on Nifty and make it something people are excited about.
Well, I'm gonna ask some follow-up questions on this once we kind of get through the meat and potatoes that we have to hit because I'm just genuinely curious. But just one little comment for me. It almost sounds like you all are actually executing the things that people theorized over for like 2 years. Like from 2021 to 2023, people were theorizing on what the future of Web3 gaming would look like. It kind of feels like you all are implementing it and making it a reality.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'd say for us, the things we've tried to do differently from other teams, it's one, thinking in first principles, like why should Web3 gaming exist? Like what is it that crypto does to make games way better and more fun? And we think it makes UGC better. So user generated content is better if people can make more money on it and own the content they create. We think prizes make games more fun. So we're the most crazy prize fueled game world out there right now, I'd say. And then it's also communities. It's you want to play as your Bodogo, you want to play as your Bored Ape, you want to play as your Cool Cat or your Pudgy Penguin. So those are the things we're focused on: the deep community integrations, crazy prizes, and cool UGC you can collect and trade.
Yeah, and I feel like, one thing that you're kind of touching on there is just the alignment of incentives, right? You have a token associated with the game, you have in-game assets associated with games, so that there's an alignment of incentives for the player in a way that has never existed in such a clean and direct way. I've also been saying that gaming is going to be the thing that makes NFTs kind of widely accepted again. I do think it'll take a long time, but organizations like yours are what seems to be pushing things forward and hopefully leading to that. On the subject of the quests that you kind of touched on in relation to the Island Token airdrop, how does one participate in the quests?
Yeah, so if you look at we have a tweet that we put out recently. I can maybe share it somewhere, but essentially quests are just running all the time now. So quests are our live op system. Basically in-game competitions and raffles hosted by great communities and creators. They are shared on X, so you'll see a bunch of people announcing quests this week. There were already a couple last week. Sappy Seals announced a quest line. Ash Robin there is doing his own quest line. And all you have to do to participate is you can go to niftyisland.com, click on the quest tab. You'll see all the details for the quest. Some of them are raffles. All you have to do is show up to an island, play a little bit, and you'll be entered into a raffle to win some pretty considerable prizes. And then in other ones, you can come to a competitive game night, play for a couple hours. And if you're in the top, you know, I think 30 or so for most of these quests, you'll earn airdrop points. Or if you do really well, you'll get a legendary palm, which is our premier NFT collection, our sort of core community asset. It gives you a boost on the airdrop. And I think the floor on the lowest tier is like something like 0.4 ETH. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And, you know, this kind of rolls into my next question. So the game, the beta has been live for 2 months. In crypto, 2 months is a long time, right? Like there's actually instances where 2 hours is a long time. People are like, oh, I found out about this someone else got in 2 hours ago. I'm late. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if some people feel like they're late because it's been 2 months. Can you kind of break down the airdrop a little bit and let people know where we're at right now, 2 months into the beta?
Definitely, definitely. So started it off January 18th. We haven't announced the end date of the kind of play to airdrop campaign, but we're not trying to make it too long. That being said, the airdrop's divided into waves. And the reason for that is we don't want people feeling like it's too late to hop in. And so at the end of each wave, people's points from the past wave get logged and it resets. Each wave is going to have bigger rewards than the last. And we're really only a couple weeks into wave two. And so this is going to be like a bigger and better wave where you can earn, you know, quite a lot of points. And so we're still relatively early. And the cool thing as well with quests is that if you haven't been playing and you want to catch up, just go in and, you know, beat some people in a quest and you can get a bunch of airdrop points. You can get a legendary palm that gives you a boost on the airdrop. It's a pretty great way to catch up. But on a whole, we've really built it so that you can enter at really any point and do pretty decently. So it's worth a shot. And hell, all you have to do is play. So it's not exactly a, you know, should be fun for its own sake, too.
Yeah, well, that's the idea, right? And so, like, what is the best way for someone to just kind of get started in the airdrop process? Is it to make their own island? Is it to participate in quests? Is it to buy NFTs to get a boost? What's the number one way someone can participate?
So I think the way to look at it is this. If, you know, if you own NFTs, especially Legendary Palms, but all of your NFTs count towards it. When you connect a wallet through Vulcan or Delegate or however you want to do it, you're going to be placed in a tier. And so if you're in a high tier, if you own some NFTs, it's kind of a no-brainer to play because you're going to be put in this big high tier where even if you don't earn that many points, you're going to do quite well. The palms here are the way to boost your tier if you're not happy with your airdrop tier. So you can check that out. But really the easiest, most like simple, kind of like turn your brain off way to do this is like hop on, make an account, play, complete your daily challenges. You'll earn a bunch of points just for doing that. And so just regularly coming in and playing and completing your daily challenges is really easy. If you want to go super ham, you know, you can create a cool island. You can share it on X, get foot traffic, get people playing. That will really be the way to maximize it. But honestly, you can go really far just by playing a little bit each day.
Awesome. And so, you know, I want to go off book a little bit here. What is your background and the background of the other kind of key people that are building Nifty Island?
Yeah, so it's a really diehard crew, the way of working on the game. So I'm working on it with my co-founder, Zach, who I've known since middle school. He's been making games since we were that age. And then for me, I've really just been doing stuff in crypto for a long time. So I've been pretty like active in crypto since like 2017, 16, but was doing stuff in DeFi in 2018, working on some early protocols there. And so for me, I'm kind of the person who's like, you know, really interested in, you know, the crypto side of things. And then my co-founder is like a hardcore game dev and the rest of our team is really almost entirely developers and artists working on the game. So yeah, it's about 30 people split across like a big game dev team and a few other like core functions. But really, it's like a super diehard crew and that's very committed to building like the next great game world, something like a Minecraft or a Fortnite, but doing it with this new technology that people haven't figured out how to use in games yet. So they're pretty passionate about it.
Yeah. I mean, and speaking of like this technology that people haven't figured out yet, I think a lot of people, myself included, like I kind of pointed out earlier, really do feel like gaming and crypto is a, like a beautiful union, and that it just will be like the future. It won't be blockchain gaming, just like how we don't say online gaming now. No one says like, yeah, I'm really into online gaming. It's like basically every game is online. When you look at the history of crypto gaming, the short history that we've seen thus far, are there kind of key things that you look at where you look at like one game or one instance and you're like, well, that worked, but that didn't work, and that's why that's not mainstream? Or like, you know, are there key moments or key mistakes or key wins that you kind of see in the history, the short history of crypto gaming?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the only major data points we have, and it's been talked about so many times, but I'll have to talk about it again, is, you know, Axie Infinity, right? It's one of the only shots on goal. Like so many other things, the biggest criticism you can make of them is they sort of remain a theory for way too long. Like there's a token, maybe there's scarce land, there's like a bunch of assets, and then there's no game, and it actually becomes really bearish for the people to launch a game because it will never live up to the expectations that people have for these assets. And the people holding the assets, do they really want to play it? You know, there's this I think a really horrible kind of misalignment of incentives you see across Web3 gaming. One of the critical things that Axie did was they shipped, it's a live game, and they just incrementally grew a community of people who love the game over time. And they had really powerful incentives that got people to play. And it's really one of the few examples of something that's worked. There's been some since, like you look at Pixels, et cetera, right? To me, like so much of it's still theory. And so for people who are listening in, maybe don't know about Nifty Island, I'd encourage them to have a look at our Twitter and just see how much of our feed is just players, you know, posting gameplay, posting content. If a game is good, that should be someone's feed for the most part. It's people, you know, reporting on the news in the game, people reporting they're winning prizes. If you even scroll down a little further there, you'll see there's a ton of gameplay. There's us announcing the quests, but it's just tons of people sharing what they're doing in game. Here's a guy who's a super prominent creator, 3D artist, making stuff in game down there. But really, like, Web3 gaming shouldn't be theory. Like, you gotta do something. And that's exactly our orientation, is you gotta ship. You got to put stuff out there. There's no token before there's a game, and you should earn the token by playing. So it's great though. There's a couple thousand people playing Nifty every day, and many thousands playing it a week, and many more thousands playing it a month. So it's one of the few games with, I think, like real traction and enthusiasm around it, which is great. You know, we feel grateful for that.
I have a quick question, Charles. So you mentioned when you first log on, you connect your wallet, that there you're going to be placed in a tier depending on which NFTs you own. Is that NFTs like ETH NFTs in different communities? Like I see your communities page, you have a bunch of different NFT collections. Is that what you mean by like you'll get placed on a tier depending on what NFTs you own? Or is that something different?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So if you go, you can go there to the top of the airdrop tab on the website, that little kind of gold one. Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Not to expose how many points you have or anything, but we got to get grinding here. No, I'm kidding. So you see here your collector tier, right? So what we do is we look at what's in your wallet and we say like, hey, you want a CryptoPunk, a Bored Ape, or something really maybe lots of smaller NFTs, right? And we just put you in a bucket. And basically the higher the tier or the bucket you're in, the less you have to compete to win the airdrop, the more it's just kind of like, okay, I just got to show up and play a little bit, right? And then the reason we do that is because with any crypto game, people want to come in and bot the hell out of it and kind of steal all the tokens effectively. And so by having people in tiers, we lessen that problem a lot, where it becomes really costly to bot or fake a player at a high tier. I think this is how most played airdrop campaigns will be done in the future. It really helps a lot. And it means too, if you own a lot of NFTs, you don't have to play as much. You can just come in and like check it out. You don't have to grind.
So if I own let's say I buy a U or I buy more, potatoes, that'll then increase or boost my tier, or I just buy one of these palms as well. But either way, it's not 100% necessary. I can also just play the game, even if I don't any of these
own totally
a specific NFT.
You can grind it out at basic tier. That's totally legit too. And some people will do really well off of that by being super active. But if you're even an iron tier, like the number of people you're competing against goes down a ton. But the way to look at it is it's all based on a retroactive snapshot that was taken like a couple weeks ago. But Palm's updated in real time. So we do it retroactively because people would game it otherwise in some ways that would probably ruin it. And so it's retroactive, but if you buy a Palm, you can update your tier. So if you get a bronze Palm, it will take you to bronze. If you get a silver, it will take you to silver and so forth. If you get a few irons, it'll take you into bronze or silver. So they do stack, but yeah, yeah.
Interesting. And then very last question, as far as logistics go, what is the, so iron tier, and then you can put in a growth code. Does that also potentially update something?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, if you haven't played yet, it really makes sense to get your hands on a growth code. And if you hop in our Discord, there'll be a lot of people really eager to give you a growth code. So I wouldn't worry about finding one. You should be able to get one. But basically what it is we gave a bunch of our most active players growth codes and said, hey, you can sign someone up, you can make them eligible to the airdrop with this growth code, or you can add it to a new user's account who's already eligible. And what it does is it boosts the collector tier, like the airdrop tier of the person who receives the code. And for the person who gave it out, they earn points whenever you play. And so you're kind of in their gang and you want, they're going to want you to play. They might even check in on you and be like, hey, we grinding or what? So yeah, that's how it works.
Awesome. Nice. I have just a couple more questions. So in a perfect world, Charles, like let's say 1 year from now, what is the best case scenario? Everything goes right. Where is Nifty Island at 1 year from today?
What I really want to see for Nifty, the kind of future of it is I want to see Nifty Island itself be this like wildly fun prize fueled game world. Every time you come into it, you're surprised by the content you see, people making their own islands and games and it just being genuinely really fun. I think it can be over time, maybe not in a year, but you know, I think over time be one of the big game worlds. That's our goal, is to make and then outside of that too, like we've built a lot of like infrastructure behind Nifty that we're excited to offer to other projects eventually. So we think other games will want to distribute through Nifty. Using all the community integrations we have almost 200,000 token gated avatars from all these communities that people probably want to use in other games. People will want to use our quest system. They'll want to replicate what we've done with Play to Airdrop. So in the end, I really want Nifty to be the thing that helps great games connect with the best players in Web3 who really want to grind on things. So it's that, and it's also just Nifty Island itself being like really fun, played by, you know, hopefully like hundreds of thousands of people. That's the goal.
Yeah. And that is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a huge gamer, but Minecraft, is that a similar on the infrastructure side? Is it similar to Minecraft in that regard where it's like, you know, it's something that people can play, but then also it can be used to build?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think for me, if I had to say another company that we like look at and think like, okay, this is where we want to go, you know, Epic is great. So they have Fortnite, right? That's their core kind of most popular game experience, but they also have a launcher and they're also like helping other games distribute and do things. And they've done a lot of the hard work of building great infrastructure. So like Unreal Engine is theirs. They are helping other developers make games. But they started by solving the hard problem of like, how do you make a cool 3D game experience with things like Unreal Tournament? And for us, we look at it and say, people haven't figured out how to make a great Web3 game, or at least maybe they're beginnings of it, but I don't think it's solved. We want to solve that. We want to help other people do it too. And so Epic, I think, is a good point of reference for us. That's the kind of company that we look at and say, we want to be like that.
And my last question, what's the revenue path for an organization like Nifty Island? I'd be curious because it's such a brave new world of, you know, crypto integrated gaming. I'd love to understand how you guys think about revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. So for us, it's a few things. Like we haven't been super eager to turn on like the microtransaction switch because we're in some ways just playing for something bigger. Like our goal is get everyone to use the game and make it be this public good that everybody sees value in it. And there's a ton of ways to capture value once you've done that. But our goal really right now is growth. That being said, we have an NFT marketplace. There's been tons of stuff created and traded in it so far, but it's basically a place where people can create game-ready NFTs. So like avatars, buildings, weapons, and things can get traded in there. We charge a fee on that. You're going to see that marketplace get fleshed out a lot with the sort of inventory you can get there. So, you know, game modes or like maybe even PFP, new PFP collections, like all kinds of stuff will run through that marketplace and we'll be, you know, taking some fees on that. So that's a really key part of it. There's some microtransactions we can layer into the game at some point. We're looking at things like wagering in the game as well. But Right now, we're in growth mode for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I love the microtransactions idea, and like it feels like an incredibly scalable win-win sort of revenue model, because the player doesn't really feel it because it's a microtransaction. But as soon as you have the traction of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of users, it can be a really big impact for the organization. So love to hear it. Look, Charles, this was awesome. Obviously, people should follow Nifty Island on Twitter. They should go to niftyisland.com to actually check out the game and the platform. Where else should people go? Any other calls to action people should take right now?
You know, I'd say follow us on Twitter, join the Discord, and really just play. Like, I think with some of these airdrops, like, you can feel like you overthink it. You know, you're like, there's like a paralysis around it. It's kind of a layup. Like, you can just play the game and earn some points, and it's pretty good. And so I just really recommend checking it out. I'd recommend acting and not thinking about acting, you know, just check it out, try it, see if you like it. And if you hop in the Discord too, you'll see it's some of the most like genuine and creative people in NFTs are in there. Like, we have the best people in there. They're great. So go in and meet them and just check it out and try a quest too for this week.
The last thing I'll say, Pio, is on the airdrop farming in general. I like try to do that with Blast this weekend. It's so complicated. Like, everyone says it's super easy. I'm like, what am I doing? You have to press this button, do this every 2 hours, set an alarm. And then I also played Nifty Island. I set up everything. I did the tutorials again. It's so simple. You just go in and just play the game. Easy is going to be doing a stream tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. He's going to be doing a quest. You're going to be able to participate. We're going to be doing some live streams. We're going to set up our own island. So whether you like it or not, we're going to be doing this stuff so you can do it side by side with us. So we're super excited to do this.
Love to hear it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you follow Nifty Island. Go to niftyisland.com. We had Charles, the co-founder of Nifty Island, on today. Charles, thanks for coming, man. Very insightful interview, and can't wait to see what happens next. And, you know, we're super excited about this partnership.
Appreciate you guys. Looking forward to seeing your islands. It's going to be fun.
We're going to have the best islands, Charles.
Love it.
Awesome. See you, man. Thanks for coming. Everyone check out Nifty Island. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week. It's also available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, video stream on YouTube and on X platform video. Basically, wherever you get your content, we're there. We'll be back tomorrow with another epic episode of the Daily Bone podcast. Catch you guys next time. Thank you for listening, and have a good Monday.